We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Daryl, good morning. How have you been during all this, man? Are you bored out of your mind? Are you a hobbies guy? Have you picked up new hobbies? You're reading? You're binging TV? What have you been doing?
A little bit of everything. Caught up on some stuff around the house. Got the patio ready for a nice get together once this pandemic is over. Did some reading. Did some binge watching on the television. So kind of hitting all those different areas to try to stay occupied and entertained.
All right, now, I feel like if you're a fullback, you have to be a handyman. RJ and I are not, especially me. But you're a handyman, right? You can sit there and do fix-it-yourself projects around the house. Have you last been to a Home Depot or a grocery store?
A grocery store recently, but, yeah, I was frequently at Lowe's when this whole thing started. So, my dad was very handy around the house, so learned how to do some stuff with him. Definitely not as good as my father or my younger brother. But feel comfortable trying some stuff around the house.
What have you been watching? What's been your favorite thing that you've watched?
Well, you had to watch The Tiger King because everybody was talking about it. And
your review, did you love it?
It was bizarre. It was absolutely bizarre. And then the funny thing was, is we were talking with people about it, and one of our son's friends growing up, they would always head up towards Wichita Falls for family trips, and they would actually go to Wynnewood. He actually, the mom sent Whoa. Pictures of him when he was like 8 years old in the tiger cage. So that was entertaining. My son got us one called The English Game, which is kind of probably a historical nonfiction on the growth of soccer in the United Kingdom. Grabbed a couple of guys from Scotland. The game had kind of moved away from a rugby-style game in Scotland to a more open-spacing style of playing soccer, and they brought a couple of Scottish guys down into England, and then how that turned into the growth of the FA League there, and then into English Premier. So that was actually a really good one. I really enjoyed that one. That's probably one of the ones that that's kind of under the radar a little bit. But if you're a soccer fan, I think you'd enjoy it immensely.
One more question on Tiger King. Did Carol Baskin kill her husband?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes!
Did you see the it was here in the state of Texas, but somebody's got a sign on their door, so when they get deliveries, it said, did Carol Baskin kill her husband? And then there's a yes and a no, and you put the packages down where you think – you know what your opinion is.
Yeah.
And there was nobody on the know. All
for us. That's great.
Moose, when do you think we can get back to playing football? And do you even think that we're going to have a season before this calendar year is over?
I do. I really do. You can tell that that Roger Goodell and the NFL are trying to stay as true to the calendar that they had in place. But before the pandemic started, as best they can, being sensible, being smart, being, concerned about the safety of the players and everybody in the facilities around the country. So the decisions they've made up until this point, you can see that. But they're trying to hold on to stay as true as they possibly can to some of the bigger events on the calendar, what they've done with the draft and challenged all the 32 teams to be able to do that from a virtual perspective, getting ready for it. I think they're going to try. I really do. And if we start out and some of the stadiums are empty early in the season, they found a way to navigate that. And then as hopefully our country starts to reopen and we gain confidence in being in public spaces with lots of people, we start to see a gradual increase in attendance and And hopefully by the end of the year, we're back as close to normal as we can be.
If I were to tell you that you could 100% have full fans in the stands in November, but not in September, would you be in favor of delaying the season to get the fans in, or are you more concerned with keeping the schedule and the timing, you know, the Super Bowl first week of February on point?
Yeah, I don't know how far you want to push back. You know, I think a great conversation would be with, you know, some people maybe from the PGA, you know, moving the Masters from its traditional slot in April, you know, all the way down into the fall and having to compete with the NFL for that weekend. You know, moving the PGA, you know, moving some of their tournaments. You know, what is baseball going to do with opening day? What is the NHL and the NBA going to do with their playoffs? You know, talking to those leagues and figuring out exactly what their thoughts were. I really wouldn't want to see football, the NFL season, push too far into the spring. If it has to go a little bit, you know, you don't want it to get too far in there, because now you talk a little bit about player safety and a quick turnaround. You know, everybody's looking right now at 2021, but now you're also the impact on 21-22, you know, the ability for the body to turn around and play another competitive season, you know, with limited rest. So I think that would probably be a little bit of a concern there. But with us in the XFL, you know, that's why the XFL, you know, closing down and filing Chapter 11 was such a huge surprise to almost everybody in the league. Was we had some very productive conference calls that week, and one of the topics we discussed was being ready to play in the fall if the NFL and the NCAA decided to push their seasons back into the spring dramatically, because we felt like we wouldn't be able to compete with them in a spring head-to-head matchup, obviously. But if there was a window for us to get in ahead of them in the fall, you know, they were telling us, hey, make sure your rosters are ready to go. Because if the NFL and the NCAA decide to push back and impact our season next spring, we may try to jump in front of them and capture an open fall with no football. So that's why it was such a surprise to us last Friday when the announcement came down.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going to go. Daryl Moose Johnson, the perfect guest, because you were in San Antonio with the AAF and then in Arlington with the XFL. And I was trying to figure out, if COVID-19 didn't hit, do you expect that you guys would have played a second season and beyond, right, Moose?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You've just got to look at what's happened to Vince McMahon, you know, through this whole thing. You know, number one, he's the, you know, the single owner entity for the XFL. He's paying all the bills. All of a sudden, you know, COVID-19 pops up and, you know, he's going to close down the league, but he's still making payments. And now the WWE starts to take a huge hit. You know, so it's like everything, it always comes down to the financials. And, you know, just as somebody from the outside trying to speculate on exactly what, you know, some of the decisions being made were about, this is just about, in my opinion, somebody who at a time was involved, you know, the majority of his investments are entertainment. And entertainment has just been clobbered during this pandemic. So, you know, I think we all understood the decision that was being made. But I do believe that if the pandemic hadn't been here, for us to be able to finish the season, go into the playoffs, I think absolutely we're looking at, we'd already talked about it. We had the calendar set for the spring of 2021. You know, we had a lot of things already on the calendar, you know, through summer and into the fall, you know, preparing for the season. So, yeah, without a doubt, 2021, and I would really say 2022, you know, and then all of a sudden you've got your momentum. You've started to, you know, increase your fan base, your notoriety, your interest around the country. So, you know, I just think we were on a good trajectory where we were going to have success. And unfortunately, this pandemic just absolutely threw a monkey wrench into that. Nobody could see this coming.
Daryl, from a football quality standpoint, what did you think of the XFL play, maybe even versus the AAF? And is this a concept that can eventually work? A football league, football outside of the NFL. You've been in both the leagues here as of late to try it. Do you think this is something that can eventually sustain itself and work?
I think you have to have a relationship with the NFL. You know, I really do. And that was one of the disappointing things about the Alliance. You know, we had gotten really, really close right before we closed business. With the Alliance, we had a very, very productive conference call with the NFL Players Association, and there was interest there in them being architects at the table as we tried to design, you know, I don't want to call it a developmental league, but giving them some say, giving them some input, as you put it, in to make sure that the players are going to be treated fairly, that there was no pressure being felt by them that they had to go play in this league. So, I mean, I felt walking off that call that there was definitely a chance that was going to come together. I think that's the only way you're going to have a spring league. I just don't think it's possible with a single owner entity, with one person. You've got to have the NFL behind you with some really, really deep pockets. It's a huge financial stress. The uncertainty, which we saw this year, you're talking about a true startup. And it's very, very costly. There's expenses that nobody anticipates. So for somebody to be able to do this, they're going to have the support of the NFL. And I don't know if that's something that the NFL will ever feel comfortable being a part of.
Moose, I wanted to move on to the Cowboys. Are you a little surprised that the Cowboys and Dak have not come a little closer on an agreement with a contract?
Not really. The good thing for me is, you know, it seems that it's been friendly conversation. You know, there doesn't seem to be a lot of animosity, and I think you have to, you know, give Dak a lot of that credit. He's approached this in the right way the entire time. You know, going back to all the way to last year, you know, when the extension wasn't done going into last season, and you just go out and play, do your best, and have faith in God that everything's going to take care of itself moving forward. There's things that are out of your control, and all you can do is do the best you can with the things that you do control. And I think that's been Dak's approach, and I think he's done a great job with it. And I think that's lent to the fact that these conversations, even though they haven't been productive yet, have been, you know, handled very professionally. So I think it will get done. I don't think it's an issue right now how far away they are. You know, people are going to go back historically, and I think there's a couple of situations where, you know, that quarterback that's trying to get that second contract goes into the year with the franchise tag, and then he never comes back to that team. I just don't see that happening here, because I think Dak will always be very grateful to the organization for the opportunity that they gave him, you know, to jumpstart his career. So there's a unique connection there, and I think the organization understands, you know how much more he has the ability to grow and become an even better quarterback than he is right now. And those guys are hard to find. I mean, you know, when you've got, you know, the potential of having that quarterback that you consider a franchise quarterback, you've got to do everything in your power to make sure he doesn't get away.
Daryl, what have you thought about the rest of the Cowboys offseason? They let Byron Jones go to Miami. They re-sign Amari for $20 million per. They get Ha Ha Clinton Dix. They add the two tackles up front. I'm petrified about their secondary with the corners, Moose. What have you thought about the rest of the Cowboys offseason, including the addition of someone? You've been broadcasting games in the NFC forever. I assume you have some type of relationship or knowledge of Mike McCarthy. So what do you think about the rest of the offseason, including Jason Garrett out, Mike McCarthy in?
Yeah, that was tough. I mean, Jason, you know, Jason's is a friend. You know, he was a teammate back when we were playing. You know, a lot of people see him as, you know, the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, but he's always just been a close friend to me and my family, and has been a great friend during those times. So it was hard. It was hard to see him to leave here, and to see really some of the really negative things that people were saying about him, you know, on social media. You know, they don't know how hard it is to have success in the NFL. It's just, you stay true to what you believe in, and that's the one great thing about Jason. He never really deviated from what his beliefs were. His players always knew what to expect every day when they walked in there, and consistency is a huge part of that. So, you know, that's one of the, you know, the big strengths that Jason has. So it was sad to see him leave. But Mike McCarthy, I mean, if you're going to move off of Jason Garrett at a time like this, and, you know, who are you going to have as your coach? I mean, to have a guy like Mike McCarthy out there and available was very fortunate for the Dallas Cowboys. I've always been impressed with him. You know, I think he's been very innovative, and this is going all the way back. You know, I've known him in San Francisco, in New Orleans. You know, I've always been impressed with him. So, you know, I think the Cowboys got very, very lucky to have a guy like Mike be there available for their position. And, you know, one of the great things is he was out for a year. And, you know, sometimes, you know, do people take advantage of that time, you know, to learn and become a better head coach, to understand what's going on in the league, you know, to prepare yourself, you know, for that opportunity with people on your staff. And I think Mike did a tremendous job with his year away from football, making sure that he was not only prepared, but absolutely ready for any opportunity that was going to present itself that following season. So, you know, Dallas has got a really, really good coach who is very prepared and has worked on his craft in the year that he was away from the game.
Moose, from the broadcasting side, this offseason was kind of wild. They, you know, reports that, you know, two different play, ESPN and CBS offered Peyton Manning mega deals and Drew Brees. And as someone who's been in it for a long time, does it at all bug you that they just seem to want to give guys the number one chair, no more paying your dues, no more proving yourself? Does it kind of irk you a little bit?
Well, you know, I understand it. I mean, especially when you're talking about Peyton Manning and Drew Brees. I mean, these are guys that are so knowledgeable about the game. And, you know, having had the opportunity to be with them in production meetings, you know, sometimes it's one thing to have the knowledge of the game. It's a completely different thing to be able to share that knowledge in an entertaining and educational way with your viewers. And, you know, both Drew Brees and Peyton Manning are going to be able to do that. They are very, very unique. You know, it's like Troy Aikman. When Troy Aikman came out, he didn't go right away to the number one chair, but he was at number two with the thought in mind by Fox, you know, in a short amount of time, he's going to be our lead analyst. You know, when you have a guy like Troy Aikman coming out that wants to be involved in TV, you give him the number one chair. You know, that will be true with Drew Brees and Peyton Manning as they become pursued, you know, at this time. You know, you can understand what's going on. I mean, if you take a step back and look at it, you know, ABC, ESPN, you know, have been out of that Super Bowl rotation for a while now. And you've got to have a name, you know, to be able to get back into that rotation. So it wouldn't surprise me to see them go really heavy after a big name that gets them back in that rotation. You've got to be able to show that you've got, you know, the support group to pull off that Super Bowl in a very professional and entertaining way. You know, the NBC discussion, you know, Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, I think they do a nice job on Sunday night. So, you know, is that going to be more of a studio presence inside, and is Chris and Al going to be in the booth? So, there's some things that I'm not sure exactly how, you know, the playing field will end up being, but I just think it's an opportunity for networks to get names that are very, very connected with the fan base, very, very knowledgeable about the game, and then very, very entertaining in how they're going to present it. So when you find that combination, you know, you need to get them into a position where they can have success.
Moose, we couldn't have asked for a better guest to cover so many different areas, man. Thank you for your time. Thank you for the entertainment. And congratulations on watching Tiger King. We're proud of you. And continue to stay safe for those home projects. Thank you, Moose.
Yeah, you got to stay healthy too, guys. And definitely check out the English game. It's entertaining.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.